Again, briefly, I'm with the Ag and Food Policy Center that operates out of Texas A&M University. Got a lot to go over, so I'm going to go fairly fast. I think probably I have a different perspective, and the perspective I have is having doing the center that I work for does work for the Congress through a research arrangement. And so while most of the farm bill has gone on and most people read about the press, our group has typically been behind the scenes doing analysis for the members or for the committees. That it basically we don't ever put those things out. It's for them. I'm gonna give you my summary, and again, stress the word my there. My summary of the major positions coming into this bill. Talk a little bit about the House and Senate bills, a little bit about payment limits, timing, and the looming veto, and then later on, I believe we have time for questions. I believe my summary would be that the administration came into this farm bill looking for some reform, and the reform would take the shape of less trade distorting payments that would be a little bit easier, less offensive in the eyes of the WTO. In general, their proposal was looking at more direct payments and less amber box payments or marketing loan gains, loan deficiency payments. The House, basically, from working with them a lot, came at this with looking at the bill doesn't really need a whole lot of change. It's just a little tweak it here and there. And the main thing was there was a few people that wanted to get some funding, specifically the fruit and vegetable folks, who were going to have to be, they needed to take care of, spend some more on energy and nutrition programs. And the point was the House went at this without trying to do all these things without taking money away from commodity programs. The Senate, while they probably wouldn't like me saying this, the leadership had grand plans to change the farm bill a lot. They just couldn't get it out of their own committee, so they reverted back to using something much, not everybody in the Senate, don't say that I said all the Senate, but the leadership at the top wanted to change. So basically they went back to the House bill because they couldn't get any really reform through. So that's kind of how we started with all this. When you get to the House bill, and everybody in this room probably has read the provisions, and essentially I would say not much change from the previous bill, a little bit of tweaking here and there. You can see wheat and feed grains got a little bit of what they call rebalancing, which basically means higher loan rates. And the same thing with target prices. The big change was the House was going to provide an option to take a revenue program versus the CCP program as we have now. Small change, and it depends on what type of agriculture production you're involved in, whether you like that or not. It is intending to limit payments both through direct attribution and a means test, lower means test. And if you recall, down here at the bottom, the president's group, whether it was the secretary or whomever, basically threatened to veto over the way they found the money. Again, a certain amount of money in the baseline. There's more spending in this bill, just by a little bit. They had to find some money, and these things called offsets are really important. The Senate bill, again, not much change in the basic structure until you get to this green part here, where you could do away with everything we've had in the past and replace it with something called the ACR that I'm going to discuss a little bit more. So that's a lot bigger change. That's changing the structure of the program. That's changing the safety net. Again, both of these bills have at its heart the policy of trying to provide a safety net for producers. Don't get confused over loan rate isn't a policy, it's a program, and it's a way that you implement the policy. We still have a policy in this country to support producers and provide a safety net. The question is how do you do that with the limited budget and with all these different competing demands? Chuck Connors basically said that the Senate bill was bad policy. It's very close to the House bill, so basically they don't really like either of them. One thing is the payment rates don't really change. Loan rates get rebalanced, as I said. A few commodities go up. Target price is the same thing. As you notice here, cottons would go down a little bit. There's some trade-offs. There's some policy changes for cotton that are unique. most people think will help the industry, and in exchange for that, it'd be a little bit less support from the target price through the countercyclical payment. So we did an analysis a while back for Texas, and again, I apologize, but we haven't seen that the Congress is close enough for us to do this on a national basis. But we did the analysis on Texas, and basically, we didn't find that Texas producers would take the option in the House bill to eliminate the CCP and go for the revenue plan. Why? Because basically we didn't think the trigger was high enough that would trigger a payment, and that's on this next chart. So for cotton, 496 total revenue is the trigger level, and one way to make it where it would be more appealing would be to increase that. But to do that, that costs more money in the baseline, and it causes other problems. Getting on to the Senate plan, which is, again, a very substantial change. If a producer opts to do this, no more non-recourse loan, no more direct payments at the levels that you're used to, it'd be a fixed payment of $15 per acre. In a lot of cases, that's a lot lower than what people are receiving. But anyway, there's procedures for doing that. And again, we did this analysis just specifically for Texas farms. But what we found was, and I've highlighted cotton here, if we went with the current programs projected into the future, we would get somewhere around $500 million a year of government payments for cotton producers in our state. And the number that's kind of interesting is, look at rice right below. It's somewhere around $70 million. Well, if you go to this ACR, the Senate plan, cotton would go to $91 million, and rice would go to $2 million. So I'll back up just 1 second so you can see this. This was about $500, and the other one was about $70, and now we're down to $91 and $2. So basically, producers in Texas, the way the program was set up, wouldn't be choosing to take the option to eliminate what we've had in the past and go forward. And again, it has a lot to do with what individual state yields would be, because this ACR is a state level revenue plan. But it does tell you that there'd be some significant decisions to make if that choice is still going to be allowed. One of the reasons why the ACR plan and Senator Harkin's plan has been popular is because when the Congressional Budget Office scored it, it came up with about a $3 billion savings, and that they were able to take that $3 billion and use it for other things. They'll be rescored again, and my guess is that score will not be as positive. It won't be positive. It'll be a cost. And so when that happens, this won't be nearly as attractive to those people putting in this, doing the debate. So in a nutshell, you can see the difference in payments. Current Farm Bill extended forward would pay a lot better. How do you read that? I read that as providing more of a safety net. Again, these are the price projections that are pretty high, but not as high as what people think are right now. With regard to payment limits, those of you in the room that haven't come to grips with these things are going to be changed, you may as well get ready. I'll be the bearer of the bad news. These are going to change. And they're going to change for the worse from your perspective. And the question is, to get the Farm Bill done and to keep the president from vetoing it, one of the things that's going to happen is these levels right here, you know, right now we're at $2.5 million. These levels are going to be lower. The secretary, if you recall, wanted somewhere closer to $200,000 a year adjusted gross income. And these levels of $1,750,000 are much higher, and one of the things that is going to be traded off, I promise you, is some on the means testing. The individual payment limits, if you've read the bill, you know that basically the House and the Senate no longer limit LDPs, margin loan gains. There's not a limit on them anymore. The fact that, you know, you see it written there, so because it's not a limit. Certificates are done away with, essentially, and what you'd have is a little bit different. You know, you have direct attribution under both, a little bit different limits, but instead of the 360 total limitation, it'd be somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 with LDP market loan gains outside that limit. So it'd be less, but not as bad as some wanted to do. With regard to the timing of all this, this is, again, what I do for a living. Either I'm good or bad at it. You can decide. But we're not near the farm bill completion than we were several months ago. And the big reason is because while I think the Senate and the House can conference their bills very quickly, they're not that different. Getting something that the president will not veto is what they want to do. And essentially, they're going to have to make some more concessions in the current bill, either the House or the Senate bill, to get it done. The other problem is you have two different bills in lengths, just 1,100 pages difference in what's all in those bills. That's going to take a bit of time. The staff have already been working on doing that. But again, when the Congress doesn't come back till the middle of January, and they've set this kind of soft target of the February 1st being done, that's a two-week conference, which is very ambitious, I think. The main thing is, whether anyone was watching or not, is they went in and extended the current farm bill to March 15th, so some of those provisions of going back to parity wouldn't kick in. And so they basically have a March 15th deadline to get this done. So that's kind of the timing. Again, they've got a lot of work to do before that happens. Now, as I already mentioned, again, I can't speak for these people, but I'll just give you my impression of what's going on. They've already noted through their statement of administration policy that they object to parts of each of those bills. And the main reason they're saying is the reform. If you're looking for true reform, then I don't believe that either of these bills are what was mentioned as true reform. Are they more towards the area of being in line with WTO commitments and things like that? In some parts they are, and some parts they aren't. One of the big gripes is how they came up with to fund all these new programs. And when you put that with the question of reform and lowering payment limits, there's a lot that the administration probably doesn't like. One of the things that makes this a very interesting time to be worrying about a farm bill is the upcoming presidential election. I don't guess at how it's going to play out, but I can tell you this map will look a lot different if he vetoes that bill. The red is the counties that voted Republican for Bush last time, and I would expect that there is going to be some similarities to this same pattern, but there's also going to be some hard feelings and things that like that. So I just mentioned that as something pretty important. One of the things that has been mentioned in the press a lot is the fact that the overwhelming vote that the Senate passed that farm bill by would easily override a veto. But in the House, it wasn't overwhelming. It was more than they needed, but it wasn't overwhelming enough to absolutely make the bills veto-proof. So there's a lot of questions going on about how there's going to be trade-offs between the administration and the Congress over these bills that they're ongoing. So the question I have in terms of concluding for you, the bills we're looking at right now, I expect the same structure. I've said that for a year now. Our new bill to have essentially the same structure. Why? Because the structure works. The payments come in when the prices are low, and the payments basically go away when the prices are high. This ACR program has got a lot of attention, but it has mostly the attention is because it saved money versus the baseline. When they rescore that, and if it doesn't save money versus the baseline, I don't know that it's going to be that attractive to people. Now, the House was willing to go along with it because it saved money, at least major parts of it. I think at the end we're going to have something relatively close to current policy with tighter payment limits and means testing. I do believe that this veto threat is real, but I think they're going to try to get it worked out before it comes to that. There's going to have to be some give and take on both sides. The last thing is just something that I believe will probably end up happening. There's going to be a big push at the end of the day to not use some of the methods that the House and Senate used to come up with extra money. The administration doesn't like really any of it. Some of it was what they call budget gimmicks and trickery or whatever if you read. And the reality is we've been using those same gimmicks and tricks forever. But if you don't like something, then you bring it up, you point it out. In fact, a lot of it was in the previous bill, meaning that a lot of the payments are moved into the next, outside the Farm Bill area, so they don't really count. Things like not getting advance payments, stuff like that, moves it into the next fiscal year. What's really being discussed right now is some sort of across-the-board cuts in payments. And the only thing we can cut right now that we actually would be paying are the direct payments. So if there's going to be money saved, my last little bullet here is talking about direct payments. If there's going to be money saved and they go forward and they decide to take money out of the commodity programs, it would most likely come from there because that's the only area where there's any money being spent, of any real money being spent in the baseline. One of the things that's really interesting is those are the only payments that were really not in too bad a shape with the WTO on. And so it causes problems because the administration would like us to have higher direct payments. That was their proposal in lieu of some of this amber box payments. Well, to find savings when there's not any amber box payments being made in a baseline, the only place you can take it from is the fixed stuff. So it causes dilemma, it causes problems, and that's why I'm not sure how close we are to getting the bill done, because this isn't going to be easy. So with that, I thank you. I usually will make somebody mad. So I put my information here, and if I'm not there, ask for Carl. He'll field all the really hard questions. Thank you for your attention.